This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with part two of the message that I started last month entitled Those Damn Strongholds. And the subject scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verses 4 and 5. And we find these words recorded. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, last month, when I left off talking about the stronghold that parents and families have on our lives when it comes to making decisions on how we run our lives. However, while these may have the primary initial impact on our decision-making process, they are only a small part of the strongholds the enemy uses to keep us in his grip and on our way to destruction. As I mentioned last month, only a person that is ignorant as to the results of their decision-making would choose to follow this path. That is why I say ignorance is the chief stronghold. The next stronghold on our list are friends. Friends are next on the list because they are the ones you spend most of your time with outside of your family. Friends are usually people that you hang with because of various factors. Chief among them is the idea that they act and think like you do. They are a secondary support system to your lifestyle choices. You have probably heard the term birds of a feather flock together. I don't know many people that spend a lot of time with people that do not agree with what they believe and are critical of them. The reason being, as I stated earlier last month, people seek to feel good about what they are doing. There is no place for someone that takes that away from them. A person like that will usually be relegated to the status of being an acquaintance. Someone that you know, but don't spend much time with. And just like family, your comfort is dependent on being able to be yourself and have friends that will support you in it. Then we have the group stronghold. Unlike friends that you hang with mostly every day, groups are friends and associates that you get together with for special occasions. The range of groups are many. You have unions, club membership, church, gangs, G-A-N-G-S, political affiliations, and the list goes on and on. One's association with these groups depends on the like-mindedness that they have regarding certain issues with theirs or with you. The more in line with their thinking, the more a person will be part of or attend meetings held by the said group. In other words, you know, if a group of people get together and they are involved in something or care about something that you care about and things like that, you're liable to attend the meeting for that particular group for that particular reason. But you know, that only is on certain occasions. Other times you aren't really with the group, you're more or less with your friends. You understand? Okay, now, you wouldn't say, for instance, find an atheist attending church or an African-American attending a white supremacist meeting because they have entirely different mindsets. Yet, at the same time, atheists and Christians may be acquaintances and even friends. However, these situations usually require compromise on certain lifestyle issues. In some cases, members of the family may be in the same positions, and in order to keep, when I'm talking about the same positions, being in a position where you disagree on certain things like that, but in order to keep the family together, compromise is usually the tool that they use. The whole idea is that they can exist together in peace and harmony. There is no room for discord or strife. Now, in the natural scheme of things, compromise in order to have peace and harmony is a good thing. However, when it comes to God and His Word, compromising it for the goal of tranquility, peace, and harmony is a disaster. In fact, the result will be the exact opposite of what you are seeking. As the Bible puts it, there is a way that seems right to men, but the end result is death, destruction, and misery. This can be found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Both scriptures are worded the exact same way. Now let's face it. The Bible gives everyone a clear message of what will bring peace and prosperity and what will bring the opposite. So, what's the problem? The aforementioned strongholds, ignorance, education, family, friends, and groups. I want you to take heed or take a look, a close look at these scriptures. Proverbs chapter number 1. Because of its length, I will not post the whole thing. Read it for yourself when you get a chance. However, key verses in that chapter highlight the need to pursue wisdom and understanding of God and His ways, as well as what the consequences will be for those that choose to be themselves. Everybody wants to be myself. Everybody's encouraged to be yourself. You know, be who you want to be. Yeah, right. That's what the Bible is talking about when it says, about that situation in Proverbs chapter number 1. Anyway, the next scripture is found in the book of, let me see, I think that's Hosea chapter number 4 and verse number 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But it doesn't stop there. It says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge," or refused to accept the word of God, "I will also reject thee, that thou shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget your children." Now, that's quite evident when you figure this. God is in control of everything. Nothing good can or bad can happen to you or anyone else unless God allows it. With that being the case, then obviously if something is, we have no problem when things are going good for us. A lot of us say, "Oh, thank God, God bless me," and this, that, and other. But see, when things go bad, then it's somebody else's fault. We don't think, well, maybe God is trying to tell me something and I need to find out what it is. Why did he allow my child to be taken away from me or killed in a car accident, drive-by shootings, by cancer or something else like that, commit suicide or whatever? And remember, everybody is somebody's child. So just because when I'm speaking to child here, I'm essentially talking about children per se, but even a grown 50-some, 60-some year old person is somebody's child. If the parent is still alive and then their child winds up getting killed or something like that, or war, whatever the case may be, disease or whatever, a suicide, car accident, whatever it is, if they got killed or something like that, God allowed it to happen. Now the question is, why did he allow it to happen? Well, if you know God's word, you will know that number one, he allowed it to happen for a reason. The question what you need to do is find out what was that reason. But people don't want to hear that. We want to blame somebody else for it. Okay, the next thing is Amos. The Old Testament book of Amos, chapter number 3, verse number 3. And it states, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" This is where we get the terminology "birds of a feather flock together." The next one is Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That's a clear warning right there. You know, even out here in the world, we have a saying, "What goes around comes around." In fact, people say, you know, you reap what you sow. Well, see, all of that is basically talking about this particular scripture here. So that's a truth. But sometimes people just tend to want to overlook it because it don't fit into their program as to them being, that the problem might be that they're doing something wrong while they're being themselves, and they don't want to hear anything different from that. All right, the next scripture, This will be the last one. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now the next verse down or so talks about the fact that people that do this because they are wise in their own eyes, and God says woe unto them as well. And woe means you in deep manure. you are headed in the wrong direction fast. You headed to hell on a supersonic means of transportation if you don't turn yourself wake up and turn yourself around. But as I said, these are but a few of hundreds of scriptures that point out the fact that there is great danger in line for those that don't heed or take heed to what God says. Now, the question is, whose job is it to direct you to the knowledge of and the consequences of God's word? Who's supposed to be doing that? The answer is preachers. It is their job to direct the people in the paths of righteousness, meaning the paths that God says they are to go. That means they are to tell the people what he approves of and what he disapproves of. Then they are to tell them about the consequences of obedience, which are blessings, and disobedience, which result in cursings. A good book to read is the book of Deuteronomy, only go to one chapter though, really. Basically, this outlines everything. Deuteronomy chapter number 28 in the Old Testament. It's the fourth or the fifth book from, in the Pentateuch, so to speak, of Bible scriptures. You got Genesis, and you got Exodus, and you got Judges. Then you have Deuteronomy. I mean, then you have Leviticus, then Deuteronomy. Sorry about that, yeah. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 28 gives a complete list of what you can expect in both cases. However, very few preachers in the black community say anything about this or other passages of scripture that make it abundantly clear what God expects and what the results will be. So, why aren't they telling their people these things? The answer is strongholds. It could be ignorance, meaning they haven't read these passages of scripture, or it could be fear, because they want to maintain their status in the community, knowing what would happen if they go against what the community expects them to do. See, they're more fearful of what will happen to their reputation in the community, and what you know, what would happen versus what God says will happen to them if they continue to go against his word. They're more fearful of the community than God. All right? Now, if a preacher has gained a large following and is seen by the community as a leader, it is near to impossible for him to change up on his message and expect those followers to continue following him. He is bound to be ostracized and cast away. So he maintains the status quo. This brings up the question as to why wouldn't this person not know what God has to say about these things? Well, just like in your case, the first reason is the fact that whatever denomination or group he belongs to may have taught him that these scriptures are not for us today. You hear a lot of churches talking about certain things that are listed in the Old Testament and other parts of the Bible are not for this dispensation. Well, see, that's a lie right off the bat. Now, certain things are not for this dispensation, like sacrificing bulls and goats and things like that. That's not for this dispensation because the blood of Jesus Christ has taken the place of the animal sacrifices and things that God required in the Old Testament. But when it comes down to things like sin, that's all the way through his reaction to to sin is steadily straight to the point. In fact, the Bible says God saying, "I am the Lord and I change not." So it's not a question of whether or not it's for this dispensation or not. He hasn't changed about how he feels about sin, so the consequences of that sin is still falling and still available to hit us anytime, any place, anywhere when we violate it. Now, another reason is, or it could be, he has never been taught anything about them because his teachers skipped over or completely ignored them, which is basically going back to the same thing. If it's not for this dispensation, then why teach about it? So they draw up their little Bible study books and things and eliminate going to certain scriptures and things like that, primarily because of the fact they don't believe it's for this dispensation, so they don't teach them this. And as a result, that's why these preachers get put in the pulpits of churches and things and don't know what they're talking about because they haven't been taught any better. It's not by choice that they ignored the scriptures because they didn't even know the scriptures were in there because they were skipped over. Anyway, now, and this is important about when it comes to preachers. If God is going to use someone as his spokesperson, then it is up to him, God, to prepare them before he sends them out. The best example of that is Jesus. Before he sent his disciples out, he prepared them for 3.5 years before he sent them out. And then, even then, before he actually sent them out, he told them to stay together in one place and things until they be endued with power from on high. Well, you know, that goes into the day of Pentecost. And then after that, that's when he actually sent them out, you know, for the mission. That's when the church was actually established. Now, he sent his disciples out sometimes while he was here, But, you know, they didn't have that much power and things like that. But see, the whole idea is God's anointing or Christ's anointing on an individual is key to their ministry being what God wants it to be, because these are be men that follow what God says is right and wrong and will not detour from it or compromise on it. Now, too many of our leaders that are preachers in the black community are not called of God, but rather have pursued the position for selfish reasons. Some pursue it as a means of employment, meaning it is a job opportunity. Others pursue it because they like the attention the preachers that they have seen get from the community. Then there are others who have aspirations of becoming great in the eyes of the community, and as such will say and do whatever it takes to achieve that goal. Once again, here we go with people seeking fame and power and recognition from the community rather than seeking it from God. Preachers like these are what we call false prophets and teachers. These types of preachers have no anointing from God on their lives or ministry. And without that anointing, they aren't going to be directed by God to understand the entire truth of the Word of God. As a result, any scriptures that they do read will be interpreted the wrong way, and as a result, will only lead them and those that listen to them to destruction or damnation. This then brings us to parents. If the parents are loyal, church-going people that sit under one of these preachers, then they are going to be misled. And consequently, if they have children and are teaching them according to what they are being taught at church, then the children are going to be misled as well. Later on in life, as these children become grown and have children, they will teach their kids the things that they believe to be true. When someone comes along and tells them the truth, the first thing they want to do is reject it. Why? Because that is not what their parents or grandparents taught them. And as if that isn't bad enough, they definitely don't want to face the fact that, depending on what they were taught, that their parents or grandparents might be in hell. No one wants to have to face that possibility. However, as I mentioned earlier, it is possible that they, talking about the parents or grandparents, had someone come along to tell them the truth before they died, and they, the parents or grandparents, repented and are now in heaven, and the children or grandchildren don't know anything about it. And as a result, while at the same time the children and grandchildren are headed for hell because they refuse to accept that their elders lied to them. But however, we must remember, if an elder passed on a lie to you not knowing that it was a lie, then that wasn't a direct attempt to deceive you. They had all the best intentions of guiding you along what they thought to be the right path. The same can be said about other members of your family and even some of your friends. When it comes to things like education, we have a little different problem in that, once again, depending on what institutions you are getting educated by, you may be getting lied to deliberately. That's right. When it comes to public schools, they have the obligation of making sure that when a child graduates from them, they are able to become a productive member of our society. Well, depending on what the leaders of that society or that community have set up as to what is or is not acceptable, the public schools within their control are mandated to direct the students as to what is right and wrong in their individuals or these leaders of the community's eyes. So once again, you have a situation where a group's vision of what is right and wrong overshadows what God says, and as a result, you can see the results all around you. It's called chaos. Chaos. C-H-A-O-S. Now, as the subject scripture says, the job of the church, the preacher, the Christian, is to tear down these things with the truth of the Word of God. However, in order to do that, you are going to have to go into warfare. Because the establishment is not going to accept what Christians are saying without a fight. Now, for the record, this warfare is not meant to be physical in nature. However, the establishment will not see it that way. To them, this is an attack that should be responded to by whatever means is necessary to maintain its position. As a consequence, most preachers in our community compromise God's word of truth to keep the peace. But once again, compromising his truth for peace only sets you up for the exact opposite. If you go to Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 25, you will find this scripture: "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake," this is Jesus speaking, "shall find it." What this scripture is saying is that any time you compromise on God's word to attain something, you're going to lose it. Bounded by the same token, while if you are willing to lose something By not compromising his word, you will gain that back and a lot more. In other words, if you are trying to maintain your being yourself and living your life the way you want to live it, and you're doing it by any means that you can outside of the word of God, you're going to end up losing it and a whole lot more. By the same token, if you're willing to, when you hear the truth of the word of God, willing to throw away what you thought was the way you wanted to be and being yourself and wanting to be a follower of Christ and submitting your life to Him, you're going to gain everything that you thought you lost, your reputation, things like that, because your reputation is more important with God than it is with your friends and the community and so forth. But anyway, let's go on a little further here. I think last month I referenced the book of Job and all the things that happened to him. Well, because he held to his faith in God, even when his friends and even his wife told him he needed to curse God, he refused to do so, and in the end attained at least 7 times as much back as what he lost. Now, you tell me, given this example, which side of the aisle would you rather be on? But, as I said, if you don't know these things, then you are going to be easily misled by those that you trust. Next month, I will show you how these strongholds reach all the way to the highest levels of government. So this is Evangelist George McTyre. Until I see you or talk to you next month, may God bless you and your families real good.